Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Not to rub it in, but to kind of rub it in, seeing Top Gun tonight, pretty excited about it. I'm sure Buffa will be
there.
Did
you notice that Netflix now has the original one up? If you pull up Netflix, because I've binged The Lincoln Lawyer all weekend, it now pulls up the original one of this so you can watch it in preparation for seeing this one.
You know, Dave Klein told us at one point, former producer gave him the... kicked him to the side of the road there a couple of months ago.
Wasn't doing
a really good job. But he had never seen that movie.
Yeah, that's
and I don't
a
know
shock.
If we ever corrected that. We had at one point we had this idea where we were going to watch. You know how you get these brilliant ideas and then you never follow through. I'm really good at that, by the way. So Chris Raby over on the other side when he was there at KMOX, we're like, we're going to every week. It was so dumb to even think about this. We're going to take a movie that we haven't seen for a while or that Dave hasn't seen, and we're going to rewatch it and then
discuss.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
No,
it never happened
not.
Once.
Dave Klein, if you are listening, it's on Netflix. Just watch it and get it over with.
I am excited about tonight, though. I think it's going to be good. I'm going to get a big bucket of popcorn at Ronnie's. I'm telling you, I'm very, very excited about that. We have baseball tonight and hockey, so I'm going to miss out a little bit on that. You know, at Ronnie's, they have that big screen, and I'm guessing I'll have the Blues game on when I come out of that movie, and hopefully we'll see a score that favors the Blues. Dan McLaughlin, who Danny Mac has not been on the show for a while, he's going to visit with us a little later as he prepares for the game against Toronto tonight. Dan Reardon, a little later, no relation, to talk and wrap up the PGA Championship. But Bruce Abramson is back with us here on 97.1 FM Talk. He wrote a piece. Actually, this piece goes back a few years, but he brought it back to life because now all the rage apparently is white supremacy. That's what we hear from Joe Biden and a lot of the progressives. Bruce, how are you this afternoon? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure to be here with you. Wish we had something cheerier to talk about than white supremacists.
It is a downer of a topic, but one of the things that you address, and I found this interesting because maybe you can give us a little background here. You decided to reprint this piece from, this was 3 years ago, and I don't know if I saw it at the time, but one of the questions that you kind of raise in here, and I want you to give the background, maybe I'm leaping ahead, is how the hell did this all happen? Where all of a sudden we're told, for example, by the Department of Homeland Security and the president and Jen Psaki, that white supremacy is the biggest issue that's confronting this country. And as horrific as this was in Buffalo, and we all know it was despicable, I suppose that puts this issue again in the forefront, which is one of the reasons you broke back the column here, Bruce.
Well, look, the reason that they started trotting out white supremacism is not that white supremacism is on the rise. If you understand what white supremacism is, what basically happened was they spent so many years calling everybody a racist that they took the sting out of the word, right? So they needed something new to call people to really draw shock value. And that was why a few years ago, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, people started talking about white supremacism. You really have to get an understanding of what the movement is, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you said, look, the right sees white supremacism as one of many evil ideologies seeking to destabilize and divide America. The left sees white supremacism as a uniquely evil ideology working to entrench an unjust status quo. The leftist attempts to tar the political right with white supremacism represents a masterpiece of projection. So you're giving them political credit, aren't you?
Well, I mean, clearly it was a good move politically.
Yeah.
Because they have this idea. I mean, first of all, the way that I like to say it is even simpler. I say everybody hates white supremacists. The right hates white supremacists because they're supremacists. The left hates them because they're white. Okay? And you really need to understand what supremacism is. Supremacism can come from any group. Okay? Supremacism is the belief that my group is fit to rule and deserving of privilege, and all the other groups out there are subservient or inferior or certainly not entitled to get in my way. Okay? That's a really old idea. White supremacists think that being white defines a group and that makes them, you know, and that's where they are. You can be a black supremacist. We have black supremacists. The Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, is a black supremacist organization. The New Black Panthers. Large parts of the Black Lives Matter platform, if you go read it,
sure,
is full of black supremacists.
No doubt about that.
We also have a big problem in this world when we talk about Islamists. These people are supremacists. They think that their version of Islam should rule the world, and everybody else should get out of the way. I mean, this is supremacism. Supremacism is real. But, you know, white supremacism is something very unique that only exists in minor form in America today.
Yeah, but the label is being applied, and again, maybe it's going to work politically. I don't think it will, and I'll explain that in a second. The label's being applied to everyone from conservative talk show hosts to columnists to really anyone that is white, right? I mean, basically, that's what's happening. And it kind of catches me off guard because you just have to be you can't come up with another scenario where this is appropriate, right? Where an entire race or ethnicity is basically being grouped and lumped into this particular category right now.
No. It's horrible, and it really is just the left looking for a way to call people names. I mean, you know, racist lost a lot of its sting. Deplorable backfired the minute they used it, right? I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton didn't mean as a compliment when she called half the country deplorable, but within 48 hours it was on T-shirts.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it.
It didn't work.
But here's a question for you. And you go into this in this column, Bruce, and I think you're right. You say white identity would not exist without progressivism, and progressivism could not exist without white identity. But where do you think, all right, you wrote that column 3 years ago, where do you think some of this is taking us right now? Because I do think that there are a lot of people in, certainly in the middle of the country, I've said this before, just about where we are here in St. Louis, in Missouri, in southern Illinois, and they may be white Democrats, maybe not white progressives, but they're white Democrats. Maybe they vote for Joe Biden and they don't vote for Donald Trump and the others. But they're kind of hacked off about hearing how bad and evil they are all the time simply because they're white. And they also don't want their kids, like my 7-year-old daughter, to be taught in schools that simply being white is an evil thing. But in fact, that's what's happening in some schools across the country. So how do we take some of this back to expose the lunacy of some of this, I guess, would be the question.
Well, you can't expose the lunacy of this piece without exposing the lunacy of the whole thing. They've got, you know, the hardcore progressives, the woke, they have this scenario where we'll divide the world into a bunch of groups, okay? And they've decided that one of the groups is called white people. And I will tell you, until 10 years ago, I personally never met anyone who identified as a white person.
No, I don't think I could say 3 years ago. I don't even know where that comes from, right?
Yeah. So this is just something that the left made up. They decided there was this group called white people. People should identify it with it. And then they looked at all the groups and they said, okay, this white people group is uniquely evil. So if you're in this uniquely evil white people group, either, you know, you have to repent and show how sorry you are for the past evil of white people, and we'll give you a pass for a while, like, say, Joe Biden, or you must be a white supremacist because you want to entrench all these things that evil white people in the past put in place.
And you have, because the column was written several years ago, but I'm sure that you could lump in and update it for... Because, Bruce, I know you mentioned some of the terrible shootings like synagogue in Pittsburgh and outside of San Diego. But now when it comes to Buffalo, I want to be careful the way that I phrase this, because what happened in Buffalo should be taken for what happened in Buffalo, a horrible, horrible mass murder by a deranged individual who is mentally ill. But this white supremacy tag automatically gets slapped up there without even having knowledge, for example, that the guy didn't like Fox News and didn't mention Tucker Carlson. If you were to pick up the LA Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times, you see Tucker Carlson's name, you would think that he sold the guns to this guy based on some of the media reaction.
Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's just incredible. They make stuff up. You know, there was one real clear white supremacist incident in the United States in recent years, and that was the church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. Must have been about 7 years or so ago. And you know who was, you know, who really rode as the champion there? That was Nikki Haley, the Indian American Republican governor of South Carolina, really stepped forward and led the charge against that. It's, you know, there is white supremacist ideology. You look at some of this stuff, and as scary as they're trying to make it sound, it doesn't work. One of my friends sent me a link the other day. He said, oh, the ADL has this whole piece about the rise of white supremacy. And he sent me the piece. And the ADL talked about how there was tremendous increase in, you know, internet incidents of anti-Semitism coming from white supremacist group. And then you drill down, and they say 92% of the traffic came from three groups. And they give the names of the three groups. I don't remember what they were. So I looked up those groups. You know what I learned? About the three groups representing 92% of what the ADL was complaining about. The biggest one has a Wikipedia page. Wikipedia puts its membership at about 300 nationwide. And the way that it gets that 300 is it cites an article where their leader complains that he's been having a hard time getting his membership out of the 220 to 240 range, but he was really going to put on a membership push. The other two groups are so small they don't have Wikipedia pages. There's nothing about them anywhere other than the ADL complaining that they're part of the 92%. So you know, what you've essentially got is several hundred internet trolls.
Right.
That's white supremacism in this country.
But,
and a handful of really deranged people who read this stuff and go become violent.
Right. But then you have, this is where I think it gets very complicated and more disgusting. Then you have the aforementioned LA Times, New York Times, Washington Post, who put this stuff out there in the mainstream media, MSNBC, like it really is a crisis. Like there are 100,000 people or a million people that belong to those groups, and they're all organized out there. I mean, and these are, for the most part, these are guilty white people that are spreading all this. It's not African-Americans or Jewish people, right, that are claiming all of these things. It's guilty white progressives.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's terrible. And it's, I mean, look, there are definitely, as we've seen with many of these shootings, like the shooting in Buffalo, there are really disturbed people out there looking for an excuse to become violent. And some of them find white supremacist writings and use that as part of their rationale. It's rarely their entire rationale because most of these people are self-radicalized. They're just, you know, they're wandering around. The shooter in Buffalo, his family said, was really driven insane by the COVID restrictions.
Right.
He was so scared. He let the people scare him so much. And he walked around with a gas mask, and he was still, you know, and he still caught COVID. This is certainly part
of
what
pushed. Yeah, look, psychologically, you know, you can, that's the extreme with what happened in Buffalo, but I've been taking a look at a lot of these situations, even with the confusion with the gender, with the trans kids, and how this has become such a thing. And one of the things that that's consistent, Bruce, is these young kids, whether they're 12, 13, this is where parents need to get involved. They're out there on the internet and they're in these groups and they're, you know, they're lonely, they're isolated. It's horrible what we've done to these kids, and they're seeking some sort of refuge, and they come out of it with a very dangerous refuge at times. And that's what happened in Buffalo, and it's happening to these other kids as well.
It's horrible. These kids are told, whatever your problems are, someone did this to you. Well, if you hear someone did this to you often enough, you're going to go try to find out who it is. And if you're not terribly stable, you're going to want to hurt that person.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that hard to figure out.
No, it's thank you for resharing the piece. And I appreciate you coming on here once again in St. Louis, Bruce, to talk about it. Really good stuff. So we'll get you back.
Send people to my blog.
Yeah. Give me the website
there. American Restoration on the Substack, brucedabramson.com.
Substack's doing some great stuff. I mean, that's the only place I'm finding real journalism right now is on Substack.
Yeah. But if you go to brucedabramson.com, you can sign up for my Substack and my mailing list, learn about my books.
Awesome. Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
522-971 FM Talk. We'll talk a little baseball. We have a little bit of news because Yachty's on the bereavement list, but the Cardinals in action tonight, the Blues in action tonight. Dan McLaughlin, St. Louis Cardinals broadcaster. Do you know he stepped into the radio booth because the game was on Peacock?
No.
Yeah, the other day the game was on Peacock, so he went in and hung out with Ricky Horton
fun.
And John Rooney. I have some audio. It was really fun. We'll get to that. Might be our audio cut of the day soon. Audio cut of the day coming up before the end of the hour. We'll also wrap up the amazing PGA Championship with Dan Reardon, who was down there at Southern Hills. But let's talk a little baseball with Danny Mac, Dan McLaughlin, St. Louis Cardinals broadcaster, with us this afternoon. Danny Mac, how are you?
Doing great, Mark. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I have to say that I enjoyed the rain delay banter in the radio booth because what happened? You get kicked out because of the Peacock game, so you guys couldn't call that one?
Yeah, and John Rooney and Klaibs and Rick Horton have been really kind and said, hey, come on over and you know, have a little fun with us on the radio side. So looks like I'll be doing that in postseason play and maybe some of the games that were not on TV in regular season play. But it was fun. Took me back to my roots of doing some radio play-by-play, which I love, which is why I got into this business and specifically for baseball. So we had a lot of fun. It was really cool.
Well, I love it. I'll play some of the audio for the audience in case they missed it here in a little bit. But it was a lot of fun. So let's talk about, because it's been a busy weekend with the team, changes, more changes, and then more changes maybe even today. Can you give us a bit of an update on the injuries and some of the lineup shuffles?
Well, Steven Matz is going to be put on the IL, and Dylan Carlson is put on the IL with a bad hammy. It was Matz with his shoulder. And so now the Cardinals have to dip back into the Memphis Mafia, and it's like it was a few years ago where these young kids are coming up and making an impact. Lars Nootbaar will be one of those players. He's caught fire. He had three home runs yesterday, including a grand slam at Memphis. Junior Fernandez has been recalled, so he's going to help them in their bullpen. But they're a little thin right now, so they're trying to get healthier. And it's a big homestand kicking off tonight. You got two games with Toronto, and they really haven't caught their stride yet. They should be a very, very good team. And for fans going down to the ballpark, it's a chance to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's one of the top hitters in baseball. So that's pretty cool. It's one of the neat things about interleague play that I like. And then you've got the off day, so just two of them. You got an off day. And then it's Milwaukee and San Diego. So San Diego's playing well. We know Milwaukee's playing well. And this will be a real good test for the Cardinals here in the early portion of the schedule.
Well, they did what they needed to do right over the weekend with Pittsburgh. You have to take advantage of beating up on the team at the bottom of the division. But it's interesting. You just said something about the Blue Jays not, you know, catching stride yet. It's kind of where the Cardinals are to a certain extent, isn't it?
I would think so. You know, when you're missing Flaherty, and this is not to make excuses because every team is dealing with some sort of ailment, COVID, injury, whatever. So everybody's missing players. But when you're missing your number one, and he hasn't pitched an inning for you yet this year, and Alex Reyes hasn't pitched an inning for you yet this year, those are two big losses. So that stings. And I do like the general trajectory of the team. I think their bullpen is really good. It'll be interesting to see what they can do now with the rotation without Mats. I think the starters have been on hold pretty good, and it's just been a question of offense being consistent. Now, if you look, they'll be in the top five of runs scored, but yet it'll be 18 runs like yesterday and then two another game.
Right, exactly. So it's not
a good example of what probably they have been, which has been a hit and miss, hot and cold offense. So if they can get some more consistency out of that, I think you're going to see more wins.
I did not get to see Liberatore the other night. How did he look, and is he going to get a start then maybe this week?
That's to be determined. Right now, he's been optioned back out, and so at this point, we'll see how they want to play it with the off day coming in. You can push guys back. If you wanted to go do a four-man rotation briefly, you could. It buys you more time. I would think that he's an option. Jake Woodford would be an option. Maybe a bullpen game, that's an option. It's always a manipulation of the roster. And I think one of the things that you always have to keep in mind, Mark, and I've been doing this now 25 years, is that when you see the original group that breaks camp from Jupiter and going to wherever you start out, the next 5 to 10 guys, at some point you're going to see them, whether it's position players or whether it's pitching. And so what I mean is that you really have it, not just a 26, 27, 28-man roster. It's about a 35-man roster, and if not even more, over the course of a full season. So that's one thing to consider. The other thing is Liberatore, I thought, did great. He was – what was unfortunate is that he had he had two outs in the fifth inning. He needed one out to qualify for the win and over the weekend on Saturday, and he couldn't get it. I think the next four reached. The Cardinals wound up taking him out of the game, so he did not pick up the win. But all in all, for a 22-year-old kid, that a lot of hype has been around him and probably feels a lot of pressure in the trade that brought him to St. Louis for Randy Arozarena from Tampa Bay. Yeah. All in all, it was pretty good.
You left out a couple of names in the pitching rotation. Yachty and Albert. Come on, Danny. They have to get in there, too. How about Yachty yesterday? What was that all about? Just giving them an opportunity like Albert?
Well, it's their final year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you have games like this, and you know these guys are not going to blow out their arm, they're going to be smart, and they've never done it before, I think you say, yeah, we're going to do that. Now, you do it, though, if you're Ollie and Skip and Mike Maddox and everybody else, you're holding your breath a little bit. You don't need a comebacker. You don't need somebody slipping and on a wet mound and getting hurt. You don't need any of that stuff. I just hope that this does not diminish their Hall of Fame cases.
Dan McLaughlin with us this afternoon to talk Cardinals baseball. How about some of these names? You know, I think the fan base has been a little impatient, or maybe it's just the fan base being the fan base on some of the prospects. And now we're getting to see some of these prospects, right? Gorman gets called up. I love what we've seen from Yepez. I've really been entertained by Brendan Donovan. I think he's fantastic. He's a lot of fun to watch, right?
Yeah, you've hit the three that have made a massive impact already with this team. And like I said before, it's kind of like the Memphis Mafia again. And where would this team be the last 2 to 3 weeks without that trio and what they've done? I mean, Yepes has come up, and now you're looking at him being in the lineup every day. And the thing that I think has been impressive with these guys is that when you look at specifically Yepes playing all over the diamond, you know, he's – I remember saying to Ollie, I said, what's his best position? And he told me the batter's box. So, meaning, you know, he's a hitter.
Yeah.
So you got to find a spot for him to play. And so he'll get some time at DH, but I think he's done a really nice job in left field, in right field. He's probably, if you're going to say he had a natural position to be first base, he's been fine there. Brendan Donovan is a really good player. So if you like Daniel Descalso when he was here in St. Louis, that's Brendan Donovan. And you can put him in just about any position on the diamond, and he's going to be just fine. He's going to handle himself in a plus manner defensively. So he's a good defensive player and can swing the bat. And then Nolan Gorman, you know, so much has been made of Nolan over the last couple of years, and obviously with the start that he had at AAA with his power and off to a great start. He had a really good weekend. He looks the part, and I'm excited to see what's in store for the rest of the year for him.
On Brendan Donovan, wouldn't Harrison Bader consider him a big threat when it comes to the hair, you know, the best hair on the team? I think there's an issue there between those two. I don't know. Just a gut feeling.
I've never really... I haven't had any competition for a man bun, but if there was, those two would be probably 1A and 1. So I'm not sure who would go first, but yeah, beautiful locks.
Absolutely. What's going to happen then, do you think, with the shortstop position? And I don't know the complete situation with Sosa. How banged up is he?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sosa is fine, so... I think it more comes down to the number one thing is, will Paul DeJong ever regain his batting stroke to where he was a couple of years ago?
I don't know.
And so that's number one. And right now his numbers, he's got a couple of doubles down in AAA, and he's hitting, I think, around 180. So that's going to take some time. He's got to get back on track. So that would be your first resolution to shortstop is him coming back. Now, having said that, you have Sosa. You have Donovan, who can play there and played well, and you have Tommy Edman. And Tommy Edman in the minor leagues primarily played shortstop. So the one thing, if you're the Cardinals, is that you don't like to move Tommy Edman, a Gold Glover, from second base to play short. But out of necessity, you may have to do that. Sosa is a well above average defender, and the metrics and sabermetrics and analytics, they all say that he's a well above average defensive player. Now, the thing will be is that Nolan Gorman is here. Nolan Gorman is not here to sit, and he's not going to sit against right-handed pitching. So I think one of the things you could see is that if you have a right-hander on the mound, that Gorman plays second, you would see Tommy Edman at short, or maybe the outfield because O'Neill and Carlson are not available. They're both on the IL. Tommy gives you flexibility to play left or right, and then you have a spot open potentially for Sosa and Brendan Donovan. So those are some of the combinations you got to think about, but I think a lot of it will be dictated on who's swinging the bat well and who's on the mound for the opposition.
I want to go back to Paul DeJong. You know, I think everybody, the fans loved him. We had high hopes coming out of spring training that maybe he can turn things around. I think I saw something about Matt Carpenter even being released down in Texas. So the question becomes, what happens, Dan? Do you have a theory? How do you just forget how to hit in Major League Baseball?
Well, I think, and this is, everybody's a different case. I think sometimes what can happen is that a player gets into a rut and then they develop really bad habits. And baseball is a game in which you're always taking batting practice, constantly taking tee work and soft toss. And if you're not doing something right, unfortunately, you're drilling in bad habits with how you perform, like your stance or where your hands are, or are you pulling off? Do you open up? Are you too close? I mean, there's a million things that go into that. And in baseball, it snowballs. It can happen in a hurry, and it's very, very tough to get out of that rut. I think Carpenter dealt with that. I think the shift really affected him, most notable. And then he tried to change, and it's tough to change at that age. And having, you know, played probably 90% of his life with a normal defense, and now it's a different defense. In DeYoung's case, he got COVID in 2020. 2020 was a very tough year for baseball players, for everybody in life, don't get me wrong. But as we're speaking about baseball, sometimes things happen. You try to come back. Maybe you're not feeling right. You develop bad habits, and it snowballs, and all of a sudden you just can't get out of the rut.
Yeah.
It happens a lot in sports, and I think that's maybe what's going on with Paul DeYoung.
Yeah, it might be. It's unfortunate. Dan McLaughlin, so great to have you on here on the show. I appreciate it. You have to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, but did you still have to stay here all through last year with the games on the road and just finally started getting back out this season?
Yeah, this is the first time we have traveled. So we did every road game, including spring training last year, off a monitor in a makeshift studio. And so that was, what, 81 games or so. And the home games were at Busch, which is awesome to be back there. And it's just awesome. There are some rules that are still going on with COVID, and understandably so for health and safety purposes. But generally speaking, it does feel like it's normal again. And it makes such a difference, Mark, on the broadcast, being able to be around a player.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see these guys at dinner, a coffee shop, restaurant, you know, whatever, and you talk to them. Or being able to go to down to the clubhouse and walk in and visit with him, visit with Ollie. In TV, you're trying to fill a long time. So there's a lot of little anecdotes and stories that you pick up just by being around.
Well, and I know you know that I feel this way. I think you did, because as a broadcaster, not your type of broadcaster, I know how difficult that had to be last year. And you guys did a fantastic job, and it was appreciated. But I'm glad you're on the road. Let's hope this will be a fun season. I mean, it's certainly not the worst start. We know that. And this team has a lot of potential, Dan. So we'll see what happens as we get into summer here.
Hey, appreciate the kind words, and I think it's going to be a fun year. Just staying with him.
All right. We'll talk soon, Dan McLaughlin.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
You know, great conversation with Danny Mac, and I do have a little bit of that audio. I wanted to get into the break, but I have some of the audio from when he sat in with John Rooney and Ricky Horton during the rain delay, and it's immensely entertaining. So we'll use that for audio cut of the day. Before we get to that, though, Sue, Dan Reardon, who was down at Southern Hills, an amazing finish to this PGA Championship. I still can't believe it's been 4 years, almost 4 years, since we had all that fun here with the 100th PGA, Dan, at Belle Reve, but quite the comeback from JT yesterday at Southern Hills, huh?
Yeah, it's really a testimony to the kind of player he is, that he even considered himself to have a chance. And he actually mentioned that on Saturday evening, you know, he had a poor round on Saturday, and he was hitting balls after the round, and he said his caddy Bones gave him a little bit of a tongue lashing about, you know, you got to be a little tougher, you got to hang in there, this isn't over yet, et cetera. And he credited that change of attitude with being an important part of the start of the round. But, you know, he started 7 shots back.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just one player that he was 7 shots back. He was trailing a whole quartet of players. But he just kept doing his job. And as time wore on, you could see, not that he was creeping closer, but they were coming back to him. And then, it came to a very sad ending for Mito Pereira to make the ultimate mistake to put Thomas and Zalatoris in the playoff.
Well, because he has an opportunity to really kind of win the tournament with a birdie at 17, right?
That was the critical moment. If he birdies 17 and he goes to 18-tee with a 2-shot lead, then he plays an iron off the tee, and it's a really difficult 18th hole, and he made a really bad swing out of it. But, the missed birdie at 17. And I'll go back to Saturday when he did not try to put the ball on the green, that he laid up on Saturday. So he was feeling a little pressure, I think, throughout the stretch, which you might imagine for a player as inexperienced as he is.
Well, I heard some of the interviews, and he admitted, and I don't know how you couldn't be. You're at the top of the leaderboard. He admitted that he was nervous to hang in the way he did and just to still have, a chance to win that tournament. I actually felt when he missed that birdie putt, I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. Now, I wanted the drama, and I love JT, and I really, as you know, Dan, wanted Matt Fitzpatrick or Cam Young to get up there because I had a little money on them, but I liked the drama. You know, we didn't have that with the Masters. It was fun to watch yesterday. I mean, I almost watched the entire day. And when I say entire day, I started watching the ESPN coverage in the morning.
And let's also then say, and I mentioned to you, I think on Wednesday, this golf course it gets a lot of credit for the kind of drama that we ended up with because it doesn't have any gimmicks, but it's really, really hard. And the weather made it even harder. But I was just so impressed with how the golf course tested these players. First of all, you take away the two par fives that they would normally have in a 72 hole event. Then you have three par threes that these players just could not handle.
Tough par threes. I love the tough par threes. Yeah, it was great. It really was fun. Now, I got to get to audio cut of the day, Dan, but I want you to address Tiger because he had a great round on Friday. He makes the cut. You and I were texting each other on Saturday when things were not going well. You indicated you thought Tiger should have withdrawn. In fact, he did after Saturday. I mean, you got to hand it to him because he stuck in there, but it was probably the right thing to do to not play on Sunday.
It was absolutely the right thing to do, but I think the right thing to do is also to not play at Brookline. I think he needs to heal,
Yeah.
I mean, he came back out. He hurt again. The golf was not particularly good. He needed to make a par putt on 18 to avoid shooting 80. I mean, this is not, this is not ceremonial stuff for Tiger. If he can come back out and compete and do the kinds of things it takes to win or have a chance to win, that's one thing. But he limped off that course on Friday even, and Saturday was even worse. I just don't think he's doing the right thing. I think he needs to give himself a lengthy stay away from golf. Maybe come back at St. Andrews. After St. Andrews, he won't play again until December in his own event. I think that's what we need to see from Tiger. Heal and then come out and see if your game is good. Because right now, he's not doing himself any good. And quite honestly, the public is more sympathetic than they are enthusiastic at this point in time.
Well, and maybe he did come away from that with the realization, 4 days of golf, given the condition that he's in, especially on a tough golf course, it just wasn't meant to be. But I think you got to give him credit for going out there and fighting and making the cut, just considering where he was 14, 15 months ago. Dan, great coverage. I know you had a blast. We look forward to the U.S. Open and the rest of the golf year and the FedEx Championship, so I appreciate your help.
Enjoyed it, Mark.
All right, take care.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, it's sponsored by the Good Feet Store. It's all about comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief. They need to do this more often. Danny Mac, John Rooney, Ricky Horton, they're in a rain delay. Danny Mac's got to be in the radio booth because Peacock's covering the game, so they had a little fun here.
I used to do the scores in other voices, but too many of the announcers passed on.
Did they ever get offended? I heard one time that Milo didn't like it, and
okay.
Milo Hamilton. And Milo happened to be in the booth that night when I heard he didn't like it. You can impersonate me anytime you like, You're going with me to the Hall of Fame, but you got to pay your way in. I don't think he liked that comment.
Yeah,
I made a few times.
Pally.
So I had no idea. I texted John Rooney today. All these years I've had him on the air, I had no idea of his ability to do these impressions.
Harry really didn't like the guys impersonating him that were going away from him, just made him look bad with some of the comments or some of the impersonations. But if you use things that Harry had said, that looks like George Bush in left field. It's George Bell. Or Carmen McRae's in the dugout. And it was Brian McRae, right? And all that. And I used to think Harry talked to his driver and said, what name are we going to mess up today?
I love that theory, and I don't know if it's too far off the mark. And here I thought that Will Ferrell did a great Harry Carey impersonation, and it was John Rooney that does a better one all these years.
You brought the TV guy in. I heard he imitates me every once in a while, but I didn't appreciate it. And so get him out of here and get the tarp on the field. It's a rain delay. I don't understand when you have rain and you're delayed, so you have rain coming down and a delay and no tarp. Where's the tarp?
Little John Miller. That's John Miller.
Doing a little John Miller impersonation. There you go. Danny Mac and Ricky Horton. I didn't hear any Ricky Horton doing any impressions.
No.
He was kind of sitting back there, but that was a lot of fun. And, the other thing, separate but related on this, Sue and I agreed off the air. it's become so damn hard to find where some of these games are on
it's
television.
It's ridiculous.
And I would also say, I text our boss, Steve Moore, this the other night on Friday. I said, not that you need a case, because I, as a person who loves baseball on the radio and worked for the Cardinals flagship for, you know, 16 years, not that you need more of a case to be made for listening to baseball on the radio, but try to watch that game on Apple TV Plus the other night.
How was it?
It's just brutal because they're trying too hard. The play-by-play team's not very good. It's, you know, it's just not natural, and there's no chemistry. So this stuff is not as easy to do as I think people might expect.
For sure.
You got experience with these guys. You got new people being thrown in a booth on Apple TV Plus. It didn't even look good. So I want our local games, but you always have the radio on our sister station, KMOX. Have a great night. I'm going to see Top Gun and eat some popcorn. Oh, I will.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.